There's nothing to writing. All you have to do is sit down at the typewriter and bleed. Those insightful words come from this episode's featured storyteller, none other than Ernest Hemingway. Welcome once again to Great Stories About Great Storytellers. I'm your host, Dr. Randy Overbeck, author of the award-winning series, The Haunted Shore Mysteries. Today, I have the privilege to share the known and lesser-known story of one of the 20th century's preeminent American storytellers, Ernest Hemingway. To paraphrase one tribute, Ernest Hemingway has, quote, a more glamorous persona, a more clearly identifiable writing style, and even a more recognized bearded face, unquote, than virtually any American writer of the last two centuries. Hemingway was larger than life, and his writing was tighter than tight. Ernest Miller Hemingway, 1889 to 1961, was born to educated parents, a physician and a musician in Oak Park, Illinois, a wealthy suburb outside of Chicago. His relationship with his parents was rocky, though he got a talent for music from his mother and a penchant for hunting and fishing from their outdoor adventures with his father in northern Michigan. He prospered in high school, getting good grades, excelling in sports, boxing, track and field, and football, and served as the editor of the student paper during his junior and senior years. Like other writers of his time, he cut his teeth on journalism, starting out as a cub reporter for the Kansas City Star. But Ernest Hemingway was a man who craved action. When he was rejected for military service in 1917 at the age of 18 because of a bad eye, he still joined World War II as a Red Cross ambulance driver. He was even wounded in 1918 on the Austro-Italian front. Years later, he jumped into the Spanish War, gaining valuable experiences that inspired his writing. A generation later, he took his journalistic skills to London, where he flew several missions with the Royal Air Force and crossed the English Channel accompanying American troops on D-Day, June 6, 1944. Attaching himself to the 4th Infantry Division, he even saw a good deal of action in the Battle of the Bulge a week later. He also participated and recorded the liberation of Paris by the Allies. Although not a soldier, Hemingway was acknowledged by those in combat as a man of courage and quite the expert in military matters. He traveled the world, always on the hunt for big, bold experiences. When he wasn't in the middle of battles, he was all in at bullfights in Spain or hunting big game in the American West or in darkest Africa, once bragging he shot 400 prey in one day. Or he was deep sea fishing for the big one off the shore of Cuba. His record for one fishing excursion is that he caught seven 600-pound marlins in one day. Well, when this wasn't enough action for him, Hemingway became a spy for the KGB. In a great many ways, he was living stories he would bring to life in his fiction. His experiences provided fertile ground for his classic works of literature, such as The Sun Also Rises, 1926, For Whom the Bell Tolls, 1929, Farewell to Arms, 1940, and The Old Man and the Sea, 1952. His novels and short stories have sold so many copies worldwide, well into the hundreds of millions, that it is difficult to pin down an exact figure, but these details will give you some indication of his popularity. Hemingway is reported to be the most translated author in the entire world. When his novella, The Old Man and the Sea, was released in a special Life magazine edition in 1952, the 5 million copies printed sold out in 2 days. And his books continue to sell each year. His writing also received the highest critical recognition. His novella, The Old Man and the Sea, won the Pulitzer Prize for Literature in 1953. And a year later, he was awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature for his body of work. Students in practically every U.S. high school study Hemingway, most often reading The Old Man and the Sea. I should know. As a high school teacher and college professor, I taught his works for several years. And my students' responses to Hemingway were pretty much like the rest of the world. They either loved his work or hated it. There was little in between. His writings, whether short stories or novels, are characterized by an economic and understated style with never a wasted word. His ability to capture story in as few words as possible was demonstrated by a challenge he once accepted from a fellow writer. Tell a story in only 6 words. Here was his response. For sale, baby shoes, never worn. To all the world, it seemed like Ernest Hemingway had it all. Fame, fortune, a lavish lifestyle, private getaways in Key West, Cuba, and Idaho, adored by millions of fans all over the world, and respected by fellow writers and critics. But that is only part of the story of Ernest Hemingway. There is much the world or high school students never learn about this man. After a word from this episode's sponsor, LitNuts.com, I'll share the lesser-known side of the man and writer, Ernest Hemingway. LitNuts.com is a book promotion service created to bring the best of the indies to book lovers. Subscribers get a free newsletter about books from independent authors and small presses. Authors and publishers get an affordable way to share their work with engaged readers. It's a win-win for all. You can learn more at litnuts.com. That's LitNuts.com. Now, back to the rest of the story about our storyteller, Ernest Hemingway. If you were to read Hemingway's works or even peruse a basic biography of the man, you could be forgiven to think that he was all about adventure. Soldiers, hunters, bullfighters. That life was one grand adventure. One of his favorite quotes was, "Be fully in the moment. Open yourself to the powerful energies dancing around you." It would seem that Hemingway had it all. But he also knew tragedy and despair. His works are rife with them because his life was full of them. Consider these things. His books were disavowed by his own parents as filth. In 1933, his books were burned in Berlin for being, and I quote, "a monument to modern decadence." In January of 1954, while in Africa, Hemingway was almost fatally injured in 2 successive plane crashes. You see, he chartered a sightseeing flight over the Belgian Congo as a Christmas present to his wife. On their way to photograph some falls from the air, the plane struck an abandoned utility pole and crash-landed in heavy brush. Hemingway's injuries included a head wound while his wife broke 2 ribs. The next day, attempting to reach medical care in Entebbe, they boarded a second plane, which exploded at takeoff, with Hemingway suffering burns and another concussion, this one serious enough to cause leaking of the cerebral fluid. He and his wife did eventually arrive in Entebbe, but they found reporters covering the story of his own death. He briefed the reporters and spent the next few weeks recuperating and reading his erroneous obituaries. But he was not one to be kept down. A month later, he was on a fishing expedition and a bushfire broke out in the area. He was again injured, sustaining second-degree burns on his legs, front torso, lips, left hand, and right forearm. The full extent of Hemingway's injuries from these? 2 cracked discs, a kidney and liver rupture, a dislocated shoulder, and a broken skull. Man. On a different note, as I mentioned, Hemingway was a spy of sorts for the KGB, though according to records that have been released, he never did any real spying. Perhaps it was just a lark for him. But even this came with a price. Though a worldwide celebrity, or maybe because of it, Hemingway was stalked from 1941 until his death 20 years later by the FBI. J. Edgar Hoover had agents shadow him in Havana and bugged his home and his car. As he neared death, Hemingway became paranoid about being watched by agents all the time. Friends thought he was delusional and dismissed his concerns, but we now know Papa Hemingway, as he was called, was right. All of this contributed to serious deterioration of his physical and mental health, so much so that in March of 1960, his wife had him admitted to the Mayo Clinic, under a false name for anonymity, for electroconvulsive therapy, that's ECT, which he received as many as 15 times. 3 months later, when his wife found Ernest holding a shotgun, she had him admitted again to a local hospital and then to the Mayo Clinic. This time, ECT was tried 3 more times with little success, and he was released in June of 1961. Compound the brain injuries with his depression and alcoholism, and it's a recipe for disaster. 2 days after his last release from the Mayo Clinic, Ernest Hemingway shot himself with the same shotgun. Still, Ernest Hemingway stands as a literary genius. Whether you like his literary style or not, those of us who seek to be real authors can learn much from Papa Hemingway. During his life, he said everything he accomplished was through diligence, perseverance, and hard work. He labored over his novels and short story collections, each one taking him 3 years on average to bring to life. In an interview, he shared that he rewrote the final page of A Farewell to Arms an astounding 39 times. When the interviewer asked why, he simply answered he needed to get the words right. Writers take notice. That makes my writing attempts pale by comparison. It only took me 15 different tries to get right the first chapter for Blood on the Chesapeake, the first entry in my Haunted Shore mystery series. I'm no Hemingway, but I think it worked as the novel has earned 3 national awards, including the Gold Award from Literary Titan and Best Book Award from Chantla Clears. If you haven't yet checked out my best-selling series, head over to my website, www.authorrandyoverbeck.com. And if you missed earlier episodes of this podcast, you can catch them there as well. Thanks for listening. By the way, you're not going to want to miss the next episode of Great Stories About Great Storytellers, featuring Dan Brown, the author of the worldwide bestseller, The Da Vinci Code. Until then, keep reading those great stories, and I hope at least one of them is mine.